Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues and invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, Jesus Christ is alive. That is the good news of the gospel. It's the good news that we're able to proclaim each and every day through this radio broadcast, and it's an exciting ministry. It really is. And today, we have a very, very special guest with us, John Lynch. John has been with us before. For those of you who have been listening over the last couple of years, hopefully you are familiar with his voice. But John is a brilliant communicator. I think he is one of the most engaging speakers that's out there today. He is the author of a fabulous book, On My Worst Day. And if you have not read that book, I'm just going to encourage you to go to our website today. Buy that book. It is one of the best books on the market. It's a book that moved me from start to finish. But John Lynch is our special guest today. And John, welcome to the airwaves of Basic Gospel. It's always great to have you, my friend.
Oh, it is. As I wrote earlier, if you did a program on the history of moss, I would come on. I love being with you guys always. So it's a privilege.
Well, just your luck. Today we're going to talk about the history of moss.
How did you know? How did you know?
I will not do that unless it's a three-part series. There's so much that I want to talk about there that's just been pent up for a long time. So.
Well, before we get to the topic of the day, which is the church, we've been talking about the church all month. I know you're a big baseball fan. One of your best days in all of your life was getting to go to a Dodgers doubleheader way back when, and you know, it stands out in your memory as just the best day ever.
Absolutely,
you played baseball. You were a superstar in the making, and God kind of changed the course for you. But World Series is coming up. Who's going to win? Are the Royals going to take the crown or the Giants?
Well, I'm so torn because we have many friends on the Giants, and I love how they just have a terrible season at the last moment say, hey, remember us, and I think we'll just win it all. But I cannot be more excited about Kansas City being there, and I want them to win it. I have some friends who have been suffering Kansas City fans for so long, and this would just make their life better. They could go on.
Yes, they could. Well, my daughter is in Kansas City, and boy, the atmosphere up there is electric. I mean, they have Kansas City Royal signs and T-shirts and all over. It's just a fabulous place. But I'm with you. I hope the Royals will take the crown. Well, let's talk a little bit about the church. You're a pastor out in Phoenix. You have a wonderful fellowship. You've been a part of that group and the lead teaching pastor for many years. And you've really talked about it as being a grace-based community. Was it always a grace-based community? Was there when you started, when you got involved, what was the makeup of the group at that particular time, and how has it changed through the years?
Well, great, great question. And I write about it some in On My Worst Day, that I stumbled into that environment myself, not knowing grace, not believing or trusting grace, right out of seminary. And this community truly led me into grace, into a really rich, not just theological position or understanding, but an environment, a way of life. And at first I fought it, and in truth, it was over 30 years ago, I don't know that that community had all the language. In fact, I know we didn't have the language that we do today, but they were truly daring to live out identity in Christ, new covenant truths, and grace. And it giantly influenced me and turned me from this guy who understood Hebrew and Greek and had all his jots and tittles covered, but had never lived in such an environment. And they wooed me from a Pharisee, from a moralist, from a Judaizer, into this beautiful, beautiful way of life that we can live together in relationship, in life, in messiness, in ugliness, in failure, in disappointment, in disappointing each other. And I think I just stayed. And so it has been an incredible privilege to walk into such a place, not even believing such truths. And I was kind of a retreat speaker, and I was speaking there on Wednesday nights, and then Sunday mornings, and they just kind of endured me.
I like that, the fact that they endured you.
That's right.
Did you, when you first started teaching and preaching there, did you ever have those moments where you're giving out truth and you know it's true and you know it's the right words that you're saying, but you're thinking, you know, my heart, I just don't know if I really believe this. I don't know if this is really true for me. Did you ever have any of those moments?
What Sunday? Well, I knew that I was preaching good Bible truth. Honestly, I didn't know what I was talking about. I had not experienced a lot of the truth that I could articulate. And that community and that family just gently weathered me and just waited until the environment itself caused me to ask better questions. And I think I was going through Ephesians, and as I was preaching it, I realized what I have known about Jesus and the way I've taught him of a buck-up epistemology and this driving hard willpower theology would not be able to explain those verses in the first three chapters of Ephesians. And it rocked my world. I had to reevaluate what I believed and how this life in Christ worked. And the place was so safe that I was able to tell them on a Sunday morning, one Sunday, guys, I don't know what I'm talking about, and I don't know why you have me up here, but these truths, I'm going to learn along with you. And so it's been 30 years of that, including last Sunday, still getting the privilege to stand in front of that group, even though I know I'm not the most mature one in the house, or I'm not the most even understanding of these truths in that community. So it's been an incredible privilege for me.
Well, I just love how you're open, you're transparent, you just kind of lay your life out there, and I think that's what the grace of God enables us to do. This is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. Our special guest today is John Lynch. Go to our website, basicgospel.net. Go to the store, buy a copy of John's book, On My Worst Day. It will bless your heart. John, there was one Saturday morning when I was reading that book, and several chapters I read, and just this overwhelming sense of the love of God just poured out over me, enveloped me, and it was just one of the most meaningful moments I've had in a long, long time, and just being able to say, Lord Jesus, thank you for your love, thank you for your grace, thank you that you are alive in me, and that you've been working in my life from the very get-go. And it was such a powerful moment, and I hope folks will get that book And I know for me, it led me to reflect on all the goodness of the Lord. And I guarantee you, if you go get it, it'll make you reflect on all the goodness of the Lord in your very life. So, John, thank you for you are so welcome. Let me ask this question. You know, when you stood up that day and said, you know, I don't really know what I'm talking about, was that a scary moment for you? Was there a lot of fear? What are people going to think? What are people going to say? Are they going to boot me out of this place? You know, what's going to be the response? Was there fear and trepidation and just admitting that truth?
Well, I think for me, I had been a chameleon all my life of wanting people to love me, wanting people to accept me, wanting to be funny enough, witty enough, smart enough, clever enough, all those things. So it was almost a relief to be able to say, I'd get rid of me if I were you. You know, it was such a relief. I knew the place was safe enough that they would stand with me, and they did. And it wasn't a shock to anyone. It was almost like they were nodding their heads saying, well, it's about time. We were getting a little impatient.
We knew it. What's the matter with you?
That's right. So I think a lot of times it's so different. Someone who understands these truths is going into a community. They're brought on as a pastor, and the community hasn't lived these truths. They haven't valued these truths. And I can't even imagine what that would be like. I feel like I was a blind pig stumbling into an acorn. But it's not always that way. And so I have a lot of empathy for preachers and pastors who come into a community wanting so much to give these life-giving truths, and yet the majority church largely does not embrace the new covenant.
That's one of the weirdest things to me. I mean, I'd sit and scratch my head and said, who wouldn't want to know about the new covenant, and who wouldn't want to embrace it, and who wouldn't want to live that out? It's life. It's life to the full. It's love to the full. It's forgiveness and mercy and all of those things to the full. Who wouldn't want that? But yet,
that's right.
There's this reluctance. There's this rebellion. There's sometimes this outright hatred and rejection of that message, even within Christian circles. It's just one of those mysteries of life, isn't it?
Well, it is. I think I did a bait and switch. It's interesting. When I first came to Christ, all that life-giving freedom and truth, I embraced, I dove in. But somewhere along the line, I think I felt like I was disappointing God, that I wasn't matching up, that I wasn't doing enough. There would be a dry season. And gradually, my theology changed to what must I do? And that was familiar to me as an athlete. It was familiar to me that if I just tried hard enough and if I gave it more effort, and eventually I imposed that onto Jesus. Eventually I started reading the scriptures with that moralism, with that shame on it. And so I kind of started to read the word that way. And I think that happens to a lot of people, where we impose onto the scriptures and onto the person of Christ who we presume he must be, what he must be, instead of letting the word speak to us and tell us this incredible good news that is stunning beyond belief. So I know that's true with a lot of people. You and I have both gone out and spoken places where this message is fought against because we are afraid that we're just saved sinners, and if we believed this, that we would take advantage of it and we would live licentious lives and we would whatever that argument is, we fear. Until we are convinced that we are new creatures and we don't want to get away with anything and we want everything Jesus has and we want to obey from the heart, until we are convinced that's who we are, it's scary to believe grace.
Yes, it is. You know, I've read some things of late and watched a couple of videos on this. We're going to be doing next month a theme on emotional bondage and anxiety and all of those fears that we go through in life. And what does the Word of God have to say about that? And in some of my preparation of that, I've come across this word, scarcity. That most of us live a life of scarcity. We're never pretty enough. We're never smart enough. We're never wise enough. We're never good enough. We're never pleasing enough. You know, that's how we live our lives. You know, we describe everything about who we are by that phrase, never blank enough. And it's a position of scarcity. But grace takes us away from that scarcity, those lack of resources, and puts us in a place of abundance, that we have everything that we need for life and godliness in Christ. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. And I think that transition is a very difficult transition for many to make. And the process, a lot of people don't want to give themselves to the process of allowing God to change the way we think and to change our language until we really are living out this abundant position of grace that God has placed us in Christ.
Absolutely.
Yes, that's, for some reason that just struck me, and as you were talking, you know, that's kind of what you were saying there. You know, I wasn't witty enough, I wasn't clever enough. You just need more, and how do you get more? Well, you do more, and hopefully, you know, that will come to you at some point.
That word shame that so many of us have experienced all the way from back in the fall, but we experience it in our lives, and it terrifies us that we're not enough, and we're afraid that people will see who we really are, afraid that if you really knew me, Bob, if you really knew my stuff, in fact, I think that's why I wrote on my worst day, I wanted to get out, what if you did know my stuff? What would you do? Would you run away? And what's beautiful to see is all the people who are saying, you're kidding me, I can believe that, I can know that about myself, and still Christ adores me. He's put his very nature inside of me, fused with me, so that I can never call myself a loser. I can never call myself scarce. I can never, because it no longer is true, the actual living God adores me so much that he says, I'm crazy about you, and I will define my name by yours, John. And you can define your name by Christ in John Lynch. And now all of the love, all of the power, all of the ability, all of the resource on my very worst day resides in me. It takes a long time to actually put that on and believe I'm righteous, not forensically or judicially only, but actually. Now, I'm immature in it, but it doesn't change the fact that I'm holy and I'm righteous right now. If our communities could teach that, if more local churches risked teaching that, we would free so many people from just sitting in pews and being able to recite over and over again the doctrines, and instead we would be free to love. We'd be free to receive love, and our communities would be messy but authentic and delightful places.
Yeah. Well, let me pivot here just a little bit. You know, we've talked to several pastors, and you know, there's the mission of the church. What's the church called to be light in a dark world, to be, you know, a place of life and a place of reconciliation. You know, sometimes we see pastors, we see churches putting more emphasis on the message and less emphasis on, I mean, more emphasis on the mission instead of the message. How do you strike a balance between those two? Do you strike a balance between those two? Or do you let the teaching of grace, the teaching of the gospel, just kind of work its way through through the body and let it kind of live out in ways unique to that body?
Yes. What you just said is so good. Each community, along with the beautiful things we each get to do as individuals, so that we have convictions and gifting to do, each community gets to find its own purpose of God in it. So in our community, it was unique to another community, but if I don't have this innate truth in my heart of who I am, then I have nothing to give. I can do mission all day long, and we can go around the world, but with what? Will it heal? Will it free? And if I do have that message, oh, my heart longs to do mission. My heart longs to then give that out, because it's the love of Christ that is now being freed in me. So if I'm all about mission, if I'm all about let's get this product done, whatever that thing is, but I'm a moralist or a legalist, or if I'm miserable, what am I giving to anyone anywhere? So I don't even know that it's a balance as much as it is starting point. That message of who I am in Christ, of who Christ says I am, of the grace of Christ, all those new covenant truths, there has to be that established in that community. So it's a living, breathing, forgiving, healing, uplifting, affirming community. And then that community longs to go out into the world, go out into the city, go out into relationships and pour that all over from the abundance of who they now know they are.
So when you get up and preach every Sunday, what's your purpose? What's your goal? What do you hope people will walk away with every single Sunday? Are you trying to cast a vision for the church? Are you trying to lay out here's what we need to do, or are you just connecting people to the love of Christ?
Yeah, almost never do I see my role as casting a corporate vision for this community. Almost, we'll do that, and we will do that in meetings and side meetings and community meetings. But when I am a steward of the grace of God. That is my responsibility more than anything else I can do. Every Sunday, I wish my audience would see themselves as sitting in an Adirondack chair with a mint julep in their hands, just seeing the love of Christ poured over them and seeing their landscape painted, so that I can believe that that's who I am, actually who I am, because the only call on my life is that I would get to receive and believe the love of Christ and then get to give it out, and only from that abundance. So every week I'm trying to paint that picture in 10,000 different ways, all over the scriptures, any way I can. So that has never been, that's never wavered, and I've been given that permission to do that for the last 30-some years.
John, that's just fabulous. And I just wish more pastors would have that type of courage and tenacity to stay just centered with the simple gospel of Jesus Christ, the love and the grace. It's that love of God, you know, within the Godhead that sprung forth in creation, and you and I were part of that creation. And as that love of God just wells up inside of us, it's going to overflow into powerful things, those works that God has laid out beforehand for
Absolutely.
Us to walk in. That is the good news. Well, John, as always, thank you for being with us on Basic Gospel. You're just a joy to talk with. We love you, my friend, and we look forward to doing this again. I want to encourage our listeners to go to stand2014.com. Pick up a copy of the seminar we did earlier. It will bless you. That's stand2014.com. We'll see you tomorrow.